Hello and welcome to Coffee Chat with Dream Life Creators, a podcast where we inspire, motivate, encourage, but also give you practical tips to live your dream life here and now. I'm Alinka Tercic, your host, and today I am more than excited to chat with Carol C.C. Miller. Hey, Carol.
Hello there. I love how you say that you're here to encourage people. That's one of my favorite words.
Oh, my favorite is inspire, but yeah, you know, we all need encouragement. And before I introduce you or you introduce yourself, you know, I have to share all the titles that you have. And I think that they are so inspiring and encouraging that people have to know what you do. So you are a positivity facilitator, peace activator, global hugger, and smile creator. Everything that the world needs now, right?
Exactly. And that's why I kind of label, quote unquote, label myself as that. As far as positivity facilitator, it's just to help keep the conversation going in a manner of what we want it to be. Because I'm sure, as you know, you get into conversations with people who are blaming, complaining, and shaming. And it's easy to get into that space of how dare they do this or whatever. So I facilitate the conversation back into focusing on what people want rather than focusing on what they don't want. And the more I've done this work, it's I really want to embody it. So if I want more peace in the world, my role is to activate that peace within people. And I've been doing free hugs for 10 years now. So that's where the global hugger part came in.
Yeah, we will talk about the free hugs later because, you know that I'm a part of the huggers too. Yeah. So I'm sure we can share great stories. But about the positivity, we all know that we need more of it in our world. And like you said, we are so focused on the negative side and what's wrong and what's wrong with us and what we should do better and what others are doing wrong. How do you promote positivity?
Well, I think it's important to realize that sometimes being a positive person gets a negative connotation.
Yeah, like, that too.
You don't live in reality, Carol, so you're so positive. And for me, being positive does not remotely mean everything is going well and perfect and, you know, there are rainbows and sunshine all the time. But it does mean looking for the positive in those challenging situations. I'm a firm believer if we did not have contrast in our life, we would start taking the good stuff for granted. So it's about feeling what you need to feel, but don't act upon it. If you're angry or sad, you don't need to act upon it. You can work through it without yelling at the person who has hurt your feelings. And so it's about focusing on, again, what you want in your life rather than focusing on what you don't want. And if what you don't want is showing up in front of you, it's so easy to focus there. But there's ways to get around that.
Yeah, I so agree with you. And like you said, you know, I've heard, you know, a few times you're not living in the real world. It's, you know, just choosing where you want to look at, you know, you want to look at what's wrong or you want to look what's right. And like you said, we always, and even if you have this contrast, we always look for the good experiences as something granted. You know, we don't celebrate or emphasize or focus on that good side as much as we focus on the bad side.
Right. Well, and it's also, I don't remotely mean to ignore what's not going well in your life or ignore what's not working in the world. But if I come and focus on it from anger or frustration or fear, I'm a firm believer what I focus on, I create more of. So I see the things that are going on in the world or I notice the challenges I have in my life, but I try to bring kindness, compassion, and love to it to help move through it at a quicker pace, I guess. But there are things, we all have things going on in our lives that aren't something we want. I study, I coach, and I live on being a positive person. That does not remotely mean I don't get angry or sad or scared, because I do, but I have the tools to work through it quicker than most people.
Exactly. So can you share a few of some of your tools? So, you know, I know that a lot of people are trying to find a way to be more calm, positive, and, you know, focus on the good sides. So what are some of your techniques that you use?
It's so interesting because they're really, really simple, yet so many people, it's practice. So if you try it one time, it may not work, or you might feel good for a second, but it's practice. It's just like going to the gym. So my first tool when I'm feeling any kind of fear-based feeling, anger, frustration, sadness, or whatever, is I take some deep breaths, and I just take 3 to 5 deep breaths, because often when we get into a fear space, we constrict ourselves. So we're not even giving our brain or our heart the oxygen it needs to make good decisions for ourselves. So we get into, it helps us dive deeper into fear when we're not taking deep breaths. So that's the first thing I do, is I take some deep breaths before I say another word and recenter myself into that. I'm a big believer in being gentle with yourself. Yes. So, cause I do step into fear. I may get like, how, Carol, you've been doing this work for 10 years. How did you let that situation make you upset? Well, I'm still human. Mm-hmm. So I then go back to being gentle with myself on it. So that's another tip, is to not beat yourself up over whatever just happened. You can apologize or move through it, but there's no reason to stay in that fear-based feeling. Appreciation is a huge part of my practices. And it's easy to appreciate things in your life when things are going well. Then everything you're appreciating. But when you're going through a challenge, that's when you need to dig deep. And if you're going through a really big challenge, maybe you're appreciating the fact you can breathe on your own. I have a family member who has health issues, and they use oxygen 24 hours a day. And so I appreciate the fact that I don't need assistance to breathe. I appreciate that I have a comfortable, warm bed to sleep in at night. So I go back to things that we often take for granted, because we breathe with, most of us, healthy people breathe without thinking about it. People who are having health challenges, they have to focus on breathing. So they know how precious it is. So it's another tool, is to really appreciate. And then another one I use is I put my fingers on my heart when I'm in a situation that, like, you know, if we want to change jobs or anything and we don't want to be here, I always say I'm in the right place at the right time with the right people for the right reasons, led by love. I may not have wanted to be here, but for whatever reason, I'm here right now. So that helps me stay present in this moment.
Wow, I love this one. And you're right. We are always, we forget that everyone is doing something for the best of their abilities, you know, yeah, the best that they can. And they mean well, oftentimes. I mean, not everyone, but most of us, you know, while we are engaging and communicating, we mean well. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't come out that way, or it doesn't turn out as we want it to. So I also like to, you know, think, okay, this is what this person tried to do, and I right. should appreciate their effort and their, you know, kind of, in a way, supporting me, even if I don't feel like being supported, or, you know, taking this from the place, like you said, you know, being at the right place at the right time. This is what I need right now, even if I don't like it.
Right. And I mean, all of our experiences, we can choose to focus on the good in it, or we can choose to focus on the bad in it. It's, choices aren't always easy, but they are possible. So it's just moving to a better feeling thought. Like if you're in depression and I tell you to be happy, that's too big of a step. You can't go there, but you can slowly start working towards being bored or being upset. And then you work your way up to it. But it's really about just step-by-step focusing on what feels better. And what you were just saying earlier about how people, you know, focus on the negative, or most people have the best intentions. There are 7 billion people on this earth. There's just a minuscule, tiny fraction of those people who are truly doing harmful things. So the majority of people, and again, we take it for granted because it's so normal, but the majority of people are going about their day. They want to be heard. They want to be seen. They want to be loved. They want to be healthy. They want to have a roof over their heads and be provided for. They're not out there causing the stuff that we're focusing on. So even in that, you can shift. If there's an earthquake and there's devastation, you can focus on the loss of life and certainly be sad, especially if you were truly impacted by knowing the people. but you can also focus on how the community comes together and supports each other through it. So there's always something to appreciate, even in the biggest tragedies out there.
Yeah, and just like you said, you know, when there is a tragedy, we step together, we show our best side. And everyday life, it's like, you know, it's normal. It's kind of, we take it for granted that we are all, you know, safe or healthy or whatever we are feeling. And we forget about those small things that we need to, you know, to feel better.
Yeah. And even like you were just saying about feeling safe, if somebody is going through, maybe it's a financial hardship, you know, they haven't been working or who knows what's got them that fear base of not feeling safe. If in this moment, you know that you have a place to live, maybe in 3 months, you're afraid your money's going to run out, so you won't have a place to live. But right here, right now, you are safe. So if you can focus on that rather than going into the future that you don't want to focus on. And as you focus on being safe in this moment, you're going to create safe moments in the future as well. It really is about being present.
Yeah. And also, you know, most of our fears never happen. So
exactly.
It's a good thing. So you started a positive focus movement. So can you tell us more about that?
I can. I started it. It's been 10 years now. And it's really all about, again, focusing on what I want in my life. So we focus on love over fear. We focus on health over illness. So you're not going to see me say, you know, fight breast cancer or fight this. We talk about pro-health rather than anti-disease. And so we talk about pro-peace rather than anti-war. It's a slight variance. People who are anti-war want a peaceful world, but they're focusing on getting rid of something rather than bringing more peace to the world. So it's just a little change and shift in words. And words, you know, they have energy too. So the more we use those harsher words, the more we're going to create from that space. And for me, it's kind of like, who do you want to show up as today? Do you want to show up as love or fear? And both of them can get stuff done. And love, I think people kind of feel like if you're being loving and peaceful, that you're kind of a doormat. But love absolutely can say no. It just says no with integrity, and it says no with respect. Yeah. Love can and does speak up for those who currently don't have a voice and help people that need that aren't able to speak up for themselves. And fear blames, shames, and complains. So things can get done through fear, but it's through the space of blaming others, shaming others, and complaining about what's going on. So if you find yourself in that space, be gentle with yourself and just move to a better feeling thought. And how do you want to be seen in this world? Do you want to be seen as somebody who everybody's smiling when you walk in the room, or do you want to be the person that everybody's smiling when you leave the room?
Yeah, that's a good one. Exactly. So I know that you have a page that has a huge following. And do these people come to you with you know, testimonials or how you are changed? I mean, I know that you are changing their lives, but do they have any great stories that they share with you?
Yeah, they do. And I wanted to take a step on that one too, because I am fortunate in knowing the work that I do, I change lives. But I promise you, you and every one of your listeners, when you smile at a stranger, that might be the first time that day that somebody has smiled at them and you've changed their life. When you hold a door open, there are tiny little acts of kindness that really have a big impact on the person who's receiving it. So every one of us has the ability to change lives for the better or to make somebody feel worse too. So keep that in mind. I get people who come in all the time that my words on Facebook have helped them. My favorites, though, are through free hugs. And I do free hugs for 10 years here in Chicago and globally once a year. And I've had people who emailed me after the fact that this one gentleman had been sober for over 10 years and was going through a really difficult time at work. And he was going to leave work that day and go to the bar. And he came across us hugging, and he got a hug from each one of us, and he chose not to go to the bar. So it was just about, we saw him, we let him know he mattered and was important, and he did not need to go to the bar and take care of his loneliness or his fears that way. So that's one of them. And I get a lot of stories from people who are doing the free hugs.
I know when I was doing them, I joined you for the global free hug. And the first time I was so scared. It was like, you know, I'm introverted. It was like way over my comfort zone to hug strangers. But like you said, you know, the impact that you have for these people, the stories that they tell you, even there, you know, I had an elderly lady, and she said, I have not hugged someone, or someone hugged me for years and years.
Yes, exactly.
Or, you know, someone, she was just finishing her chemo, and, you know, she said, I just really needed a hug. But then again, I had, you know, stories when people were, oh no, these huggers, they are just after your wallet. And it's again how you look at the things.
It absolutely is. And the first time I did free hugs, I was terrified. And I mean, I'm an extrovert, but I was not a hugger until I started this. And each time I can still get a little nervous, like, oh, are people going to hug today? I mean, I've never once gone out there and not received a hug. Now, I do it in a very popular, busy place in Chicago. So there are days where we get more hugs than others. But it's so funny to me that I still get nervous after all this time. It's like, get over yourself.
No, it's really, and when you feel the impact that you have, you know, I was standing like you in a very busy area, and, you know, there were a lot of homeless people, and, you know, some bands playing guitars and stuff like that, you know, begging for money. And they came to me, like, you know, and I know one of those homeless, he was kind of afraid to approach me, you know, because, oh, I'm a homeless, you know, would you want to hug me? And of course we did. But, you know, those experiences and those stories of these people really, you know, even now I have goosebumps.
Yeah.
Because it means so much, and hug is, you know, like a universal love language.
Yeah, and I think what's so important about it is we are offering. There is no insistence, because obviously there have been people who have had physical trauma that a hug from a stranger would not be a good experience for them. So it's purely standing there with a sign saying free hugs and letting them come to you. I've also learned over the time to let them decide how long and how hard the hug is, because I've had an elderly woman come up and say she has a bad back. So I'm like, so it just makes sense not to hug her tightly. So if they hug me tightly, I'll hug them tightly. And then you get people who are judging the hugs. It's like, well, they barely touched me, so that's not a good hug. And I'm like, no, that person who barely touched you had to come so far out of their comfort zone just to do that. It's a phenomenal hug. Maybe the next time they'll hug a little bit more, maybe they won't. But they really had to come out of their comfort zone to even do that.
So you're doing free hugs every weekend?
Every other weekend. We do it twice a month in Chicago, yeah.
Wow, amazing. And the global free hugs that you do every year, mm-hmm. How many countries you have this year?
Oh, you know what? I should have totally looked at that before our call.
What about last year?
I was going to say, I've been out of town for a week, so I've gotten some new ones in. But we have huggers on five continents right now. I don't have anybody hugging in Australia yet. And I've yet to get anybody hugging on Antarctica. That is my goal. One of these days I'm going to get a hugger on Antarctica. And I believe I have 13 or 14 countries and 17 or 18 U.S. states right now. But I've had several people sign up this week that I have not entered yet.
Yeah, of course.
But even those stories, like I had a story from the very first free hugs, and these two young girls were offering free hugs in Mexico City, Mexico. And they emailed me after and apologized. They said they stood out for 90 minutes and did not get one hug. And so they felt bad about it. And she's like, our city is very dangerous and people don't trust each other. And I'm like, you did a great job. And even the people who walk by you were impacted, even if they did not choose to hug. So, you know, just being in that energy of the people offering kindness helps.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. So what do you, from your experience with hugging and everything that you're doing, what do you think that people need most these days?
I think people need to know that they matter. They need to be seen. And that's one of the things that the hugs does the most, is you see somebody for that moment. But people want to know that, you know, because there are 7 billion people, and it's easy to feel insignificant in this world. But you do matter. Every single person brings something slightly different to the equation. And as I mentioned before, everybody, I mean, you don't know if that one person who is tired of life and planning to end life, and then you do something kind for them, that that's the switch that they need to realize that they do matter. And it's so easy to just spread a little kindness in your area.
Yeah, and you never know who's watching and whose impact, you know, who will be impacted by your, like you said, smile or whatever you do for them.
Yeah, and again, I'm lucky because the work I do, people will email me and let me know. But I know just from my own experience being out and about, a stranger doing something nice to me, and it just makes me feel really good sharing a smile with somebody I don't know. I mean, the hug. So it really, you don't have to do a lot to lift somebody up.
Yeah, and you, I don't know if you've been involved, and but I was involved in a paid forward movement. And it is a similar idea, but I know that the author of the book, you know, she expected the people to be kind of awakened by the movie and by the book and everything, and they will jump into to doing more acts of kindness, but they didn't. So what do you think why that is? Do we need more push or something more to really start doing something for strangers? Or what do you think that would change that?
You know, I think it goes back to people feeling personally safe. And I don't mean physically safe, but to feel like they matter. And that, because I think if people are filled up and know that they're loved and feel worthy, they're the ones out there that are doing those acts of kindness. And whatever you're lacking in your life, whether it's finances, whether it's a relationship or the job that you want, it all comes down to, at the end of the day, a not feeling worthy of having those things. And perhaps like Eckhart Tolle and those people have complete worthiness, but I think we all, in some aspect, have a little bit of, oh, I don't deserve this. So the more that we take the time to be gentle with ourselves, I think you're going to want to help more. And I think people are afraid of doing it wrong. Like, how can I make an impact on people? And what if I do it wrong? And really, there's days that I absolutely know being out there giving hugs impacted me far more than it impacted other people. So it really, like, people always tell me, like, you're so giving and stuff because I do a lot of volunteer work. I'm like, that's some of the most selfish things I do for myself, is to help others. Because I get so much out of it. So I think if people stepped out of their comfort zone a little bit, they would do more of it. But I absolutely am not a believer in pushing people. The more I embody what I want the world to be, the more that I'm going to, that's why I say I like the word encourage. I like to invite people to do things, and I like to encourage people to do things. But as soon as you tell me you have to do this to be able to be rich, or you have to do this to find the love of your life, I'm out, because there's nothing you have to do.
I'm the same, and I didn't mean to use the word push as something negative. But what would be that click in their heads, you know, to step out? Or
I think it's to be excited and show them. I mean, I know well before I got into positive focus, I stayed in jobs I did not like because I was comfortable. I mean, I didn't like it, but I still knew what was expected of me. I knew I would get a paycheck every 2 weeks, and so I still stayed. People, stepping out of your comfort zone is really scary. Even if you don't like where you are, you know where you are. It's safe that way. So I think the more that you just, little baby steps, you don't have to try to save. That's another thing I think that people tend to not go into action for, is they get overwhelmed with the immenseness of problems that are out there. Like, how can I save world hunger? Well, just feed one person, you know, just offer, even one time, offer somebody on the street that you'll go buy them a sandwich. You don't, when you work with the individuals around you, it's a ripple effect and you are then saving the world. But I think it's so easy to get into that space. Well, how, I'm just one person, how can I make a difference? But if each one of us just made the slightest difference, starting with ourselves, be kinder with yourself, then we would see more of it as well.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that we as a industry in the coaching and everything, where we use the words like the passion and your purpose and everything, that people get overwhelmed with the notion that it has to be something grand and life-changing and world-changing and revolutionary or whatever, you know. But like you said, it's those small steps, you know, whatever you can do right now.
Yeah, and I was at an event this weekend that I was working, and Elizabeth Gilbert was one of the speakers, and she's now made me need to change my passion and purpose statement, because she's like, her purpose, because people get so stuck on what's my purpose in life, and she's like, her purpose is to be love. The activities she does is to write a book, is to go out and do public speaking, but her purpose is purely to be love. And I'm like, ooh, I like that. So my purpose is to love. The way I do it is through coaching. The way I do it is through free hugs and speaking and being the example of what kindness looks like is my biggest thing, is to always be what I want others to be. Yeah. But my purpose is to be love.
I love that. I love that. And it, because we all are at the end, right? Mm-hmm. Just in a different ways.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. So where can people find more about you? And I know that you have a free gift for us.
Yes, I wrote, how to visualize and manifest your dream. So it's just a small PDF file that gives you some tips on how to focus more on what you want rather than focusing on what you don't want. And my website is carolccmiller.com or positive-focus.com. That's the nonprofit I run. I do my coaching through my personal website. And you can find me on Facebook under Positive Focus. So,
of course. Awesome. So before we finish, what is your final advice, your final words for our listeners?
My final advice is to really to be gentle with yourself and to know that in this moment, you're doing the best you can. Just be your best self in each moment and keep going and keep focusing on that better feeling thought. But the more you're gentle with yourself, the more you allow yourself to grow and the more that you allow yourself to step out of your comfort zone, because there's a lot of beauty on the other side of that comfort zone.
Yeah. And it all starts with us. We have to take care of ourselves first. Exactly.
Awesome. We're the only ones we can change. We can want other people to change, but we have no control over them. But we can change our attitude towards those people.
Exactly, exactly. Thank you so much for being my guest. It was an honor and, you know, exciting as always talking to you.
You too. Thank you very much.
I am Alenka Tercic, and this was Coffee Chat with Dream Life Creators. Bye.